This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Apparently, it's impeachment time, and we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about why we're the Han Dynasty, the Chinese Han Dynasty. I bet you didn't see that coming. Plus, Anna Perez and more coming up tonight on I'm Right.
Today, I am directing our House committee to open a formal impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden.
Okay. How are you thinking about this today? How are you feeling about it? How should you feel about it? Well, let me just give it to you right between the eyes. I can't tell you how to feel. I'll tell you how I feel about it. I heard the news and I said, okay. It didn't make me excited. It didn't make me angry. Didn't disappoint me. I said, okay. Because look, there are some things as we move forward now in this late stage republic of ours, there are some things that are ugly, but they're a given. It's ugly, but it's a given. All right, working out. You wanna lose weight, you're too fat. You know what's kind of gross when you think about it? Sweating. All this water comes out of your body, and if you leave it there for a little bit, it stinks, you smell, and you're all wet. It's gross, right? But it's a given. If you work out, you're going to sweat. It's ugly, but it's a given. As we move forward as a late-stage republic, we are going to have to impeach every Democrat president when we have the House. Why? Because they're going to impeach every single Republican president when they have the House. Don't be naive. There will be no exceptions. The last two was it wasn't about Trump or anything else. It's how this country will operate moving forward. Democrats will impeach every Republican president. Republicans must therefore impeach every single Democrat president. Contrary to what nursery rhyme conservatism has told you your whole life, you actually don't get any special brownie points by not impeaching their guy or by doing things the right way. That is not how the public operates at all. They don't reward you for that. We must impeach Joe Biden. But I'm also not happy about it either for a variety of reasons. I'm not happy this is where we are as a country, that this is how we have to operate. I don't think that's a good thing. That's a bad thing, isn't it? I think we can all agree that's a bad thing. Another reason I don't jump for joy is he's not going to be removed from office. They have the Senate. All the committed communists in the Senate will shoot this down. And even if he was removed from office, even if we did have the Senate, we removed Joe Biden, then it turns into President Dome. So it's fine. I don't think it changes the world. I think as far as the issues go, you know, you have this long issue list of things you care about, things you prioritize. Everyone's list looks different, by the way. I would argue that the impeachment of Joe Biden needs to be on there, but not in the top 10. It's on there somewhere. Here's some more from Kevin McCarthy.
Taken together, these allegations paint a picture of a culture of corruption. This logical next step will give our committees the full power to gather all the facts and answers for the American public. That's exactly what we want to know, the answers. I believe the president would want to answer these questions and allegations as well. Now, I do not make this decision lightly. And regardless of your party or who you voted for, these facts should concern all Americans. The American people deserve to know that the public offices are not for sale, and that the federal government is not being used to cover up the actions of a politically associated family.
Not so sure the White House is that excited about all these revelations. Joining me now, the big cheese, the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, Congressman Jim Jordan. Okay, Congressman, I'm sure Joe Biden is not jumping for joy. In fact, I'm sure Joe Biden hasn't actually jumped for anything in years. But it does look bad. I mean, the evidence you all have uncovered does look really bad. What's an impeachment inquiry? How's that different than an impeachment?
Well, an inquiry is you're still gathering the information, but the courts have long recognized if you're in that, what the speaker has declared, that phase of oversight, that the courts are more likely when you get into the inevitable disputes with the executive branch over documents you need, information you've subpoenaed, or people you need to depose, they tend to want to side with the House of Representatives because this is a power that's exclusively in the House, in the Constitution, the impeachment authority that we have under our system of government. So that's why I think it's important. And again, as you point out, Jesse, the facts certainly warrant going to this phase. 10% for the big guy. Multiple people have said the big guy, of course, was Joe Biden. 50% for Pops, that other email. The brand, Devin Archer, Hunter Biden's business partner, says the brand was Joe Biden. 5,000 emails where Joe Biden uses an alias during his time as vice president. The WhatsApp message, the shakedown in the WhatsApp message. Multiple companies that paid multiple Biden family members all kinds of money. Multiple times the White House has changed their story. Dinners, phone calls, meetings that Joe Biden had with Hunter Biden's business partners and with people doing business with his son. If that doesn't warrant an investigation, I don't know what does. So that's why I think the speaker took the position he did and why we're in this phase of our oversight.
Congressman, one thing that drives me crazy is how people say it's Hunter Biden's business. Joe was involved in Hunter's business. He's involved in Hunter's business. Hunter doesn't have a business. Hunter's a 50-some-year-old crackhead with no qualifications whatsoever. Joe has a business. Hunter was involved in Joe's business, not the other way around.
And Hunter Biden's business partner, Devin Archer, whatever that business was, confirmed what you just said when he said what they were selling was the brand itself, the brand being the vice president of the United States. And then you have the most compelling evidence. You have the 1023 form that was validated. What the confidential human source said in the 1023 form was validated by the actions we saw in December of 2015. December 4th, Hunter Biden, Devin Archer in Dubai with the heads of Burisma, the guys who run that company. In that meeting, they said, we need the pressure taken off of us, the pressure from Mr. Shokin, the Ukrainian prosecutor, and others. We need that taken off of us. There's a phone call made to D.C. Mr. Archer said, I don't know who it was, but it called D.C. I had stepped away for a few minutes. They called D.C. We all knew who that was. So they called D.C. 5 days later, Joe Biden goes to Ukraine, gives the speech where he started the process to fire the prosecutor who was applying the pressure to Burisma. It took all of 5 days. And you had that validate. So that action validated what was said by the confidential human source in the 1023 form that the Justice Department tried to keep from us. And that's the final step in this, Jesse. You got all that list of facts I just went through. Then you have the actions, the unorthodox, I guess, to be kind, actions we have seen from the Department of Justice and David Weiss and how they've handled this entire investigation.
Certainly, yeah, unorthodox, to put it mildly. Congressman, conceptually, and I realize this is just a conceptual question, how do you handle the impeachment of all these people who have frankly gone way out of line with their role? You can't impeach everybody. I'm not naive. I'm not stupid. You can't spend every waking minute impeaching Biden and impeaching Mayorkas and impeaching Merrick Garland. But Merrick Garland definitely warrants it. Mayorkas definitely warrants it. And they were ready to impeach him before you guys even took the House. How are you supposed to handle that? You can't impeach a new person every day. What do you do?
Right. I think you focus where we're focused now. You focus on the guy who heads the executive branch, and you go to this phase of our oversight, and you get the facts out there. And when we're doing that, we're inevitably going to get more facts about how the Justice Department operates. I mean, I think that's for sure. But you just do your work, put the facts out there. You're right. You can't do it. I think there's only been one other time in history where a cabinet level official was impeached. It goes clear back to the Treasury Secretary in the Harding administration. So that doesn't happen often. Unfortunately, we see this happening more and more with the president. I don't know that that's a good thing. But for me and for, I think, House Republicans and for the House of Representatives, it should always be driven by facts, by evidence, and by the Constitution. And I think that's why Speaker McCarthy has made that decision, because he's focused on the facts, the evidence, and the Constitution when it comes to the activity of President Biden.
Switching gears a little bit here, we have this appropriations process coming up, and I'm positive that your office has heard the same things I hear all the daggone time. People are worried about what happened in December. In December, lame duck Congress, Republicans join with Democrats, cram through everything they want, and say, well, it's just a temporary fix. And they're worried we're going to get another one of these here in a couple weeks. Are we?
Well, I hope we don't get to that big kind of omnibus package at the end of the calendar year. You know, you do some like temporary government funding until like, you know, Christmas Eve, and then you put together some ugly piece of legislation that spends money on all kinds of crazy things. We want to avoid that. That's what I voted against the last year. So I think the smart move, frankly, is to execute the play that we put in motion back during the debt ceiling agreement and says, let's pass the CR to early next year, sometime in March, not one until December, like March 1st, say, because on January 1st, if we're in a continuing resolution, there's an automatic across the board 1% cut that kicks in. It'd be one of the few times we've actually totally, you know, reduced discretionary spending in this capital. So I would be for that. Send it over there and say, all right, Chuck Schumer, you agreed to this back in a few months ago in the debt ceiling agreement. All right, we're going to send that over. Here's a CR to March, and now we can fight for the policies that we think make sense, things we want to do different with your tax dollars at the FBI, as an example, things we want to do at the Department of Homeland Security and say you can't use any money to set up a disinformation governance board and number of policy riders that get attached. I think we have a better chance of getting those if there's this threat of a real cut happening on January 1st. So I would look for a strategy like that. If it's some short-term CR, then I'd put on one good policy and send it to the Senate and dare them to not accept that. Like, okay, we're not going to release any new migrants into the country. We'll send you a short-term funding bill for a few weeks while we're working things out. But one of the policies we want is quit releasing these migrants. After all, you got the mayor of New York talking about that issue.
No, I know, and I like the focus on one issue for sure, because it allows you to get some kind of a win. What do we do about these three-letter agencies in the meantime? I'm not naive. I know you can't defund the whole federal government with an appropriations thing. I understand that, but the FBI colluding with the CDC to censor people on social media. There's a report out today from a whistleblower. The CIA is paying its own people to lie about the origins of COVID. We have a federal government that is out of control, is putting it mildly. How in the world do we begin addressing that?
Well, it's starting to happen. The IRS announced 7 weeks ago they will no longer make unannounced visits to people's homes. I think that's a direct result of the information we brought forward regarding Matt Taibbi, who was, while he's testifying, gets the knock on the door from the IRS as a total intimidation action. So I think that's why they did that. Then you have other things that are happening, like the big decision we got the Fifth Circuit last week that validated almost everything the federal court said there in the Western District of Louisiana on this censorship effort by these three-letter agencies you point out. So we are making some progress there, and we're doing that simply as the House of Representatives, you know, one half or one third of the government, but by a five-vote majority, and yet we're getting this information to the American people, and I think it is having an impact. Imagine what we can do if we get the White House and win back the Senate. So I do think we're making progress, but you're right. It's coming from every angle. And this CIA thing you got to be first. They're censoring you if you say anything against the COVID thought process of the Biden administration. Then you find out they're not only starting to censor you, they're paying people to say things that are, I don't know if this is accurate or not, what the whistleblower said, but if it is, it's pretty darn scary.
File this one under, I hope they're lying. I hope the whistleblower is lying. That file is getting awfully thick. Congressman, thank you so much. Go get them.
You bet. You too, Jesse. Thanks.
Let's talk about the low-T GOP next, because we have a real problem with it in this country. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Let's get to something terrific. Saving dogs. Saving dogs. Dogs that have been left. I still can't wrap my mind around this, and you know that I'm not one of these mega animal lover people. I just love my dog. I've always loved my dogs. I can't believe people take their dogs, their own dogs, and they'll raise them up to being an adult dog. We're not even talking puppies. They'll raise an adult dog, and then they'll just dump them on the side of the road. This is something that happens all the time. I can't believe this happens. Delta Rescue is there. You see, there are many, many animal shelters in this world who kill the animals after some time. Oftentimes, it's space reasons, budget reasons, but they just run out of space. They have to kill the animals. Delta Rescue is the largest no-kill, care-for-life animal shelter in the world. They take in that dog will be cared for until it breathes its last. Isn't that great? They do this with your money. Whatever you give to deltarescue.org, that's how they get it done. Deltarescue.org. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
The government we deserve. Have you ever heard of the Han Chinese? Stay with me for a second. This is going to be about the low-T GOP. So just, actually, it's about our nation as a whole. But let's talk about something for a moment. We try to look at America, anyone who has any kind of a mind for history, and we try to figure out where are we historically? What nation are we? Trying to figure out where we're going, right? You know what the Han Chinese were? 20, 30 years before Christ to about 200 years after Christ. Had a good run. In China, obviously. But one of the fascinating things about the Han Chinese was this. I always thought it was fascinating. They had these emperors, and it was standard Chinese emperor. Everyone worships him, that kind of thing. But eventually, the emperor becomes just a puppet. You know, they'll have this kid or that kid. Sometimes the emperor was a baby. Okay, so who's actually running the country? Towards the end, the last 100 years or more of the Han Dynasty, the empire was just run by the palace eunuchs, these real scheming guys behind the scenes, or the palace women, the scheming women behind the scenes, and they were at war with each other, assassinating each other. But the long way I want to say this is this. They were so unpopular, the eunuchs and the women, with everyone. And the society hated them, and nothing they did worked. And yet, even though they were universally unpopular with everybody, nobody, you could go out and walk down the Han Chinese sidewalk and tap 20 Chinese people on the shoulder and ask them, what do you think about those eunuchs? No positive responses, universally hated. And yet, they were able to maintain power for themselves for a long time until it finally ended. The people of that nation were so disgusted by the people who led them and their government, and they didn't like any of it. But they were stuck living under this horrible system for so long before the system finally ended up collapsing. In case you're wondering, a military leader came and killed all the eunuchs. But anyway, that's where we are now as a country. I think about this when I look at our leaders. I think about it when I look at what a joke they've become. Not just that they're people I disagree with. That's one thing. That's kind of life, right? You're going to have politicians with whom you disagree. But, man, kind of gross, isn't it? John Fetterman is a United States senator. And I'm not one of these people who assigns, you know, lofty things to politicians because mostly they're scumbags, but that's a big deal. United States senator is a big deal. John Fetterman was asked today about the impending impeachment inquiry for Joe Biden. This human being, selected by the citizens of Pennsylvania as a United States senator.
I'm asking about this news that Speaker McCarthy has formally launched an impeachment inquiry. Has said he's going to.
Oh my God, really? Oh my gosh, you know, oh, it's devastating. Ooh, don't do it. Please don't do it. Oh no, oh no.
We gotta run back to the office, but
like he's 10 years old. Now, here's what's crazy about that. Just like the Han Dynasty, honestly, Republican, Democrat, Independent, you go show that video right there. That one right there. Look, just clip it. Carry around the Jesse Kelly Show with you on the First TV app, which is available on your phone, I should note. Go show that clip right there to 10 friends, to Democrat friends. You will not get one ringing endorsement of it. Every person will look at that and say, oh, that's kind of cringe. I can't believe that guy's a senator. Everybody universally agreed upon that is embarrassing and that human being is in the United States Senate. You can pair that video with this one of the most powerful Republican in Washington, D.C.
bipartisan cooperation and a string of
Did you hear the question, Senator? Running for re-election in 2026?
Yes.
All right, I'm sorry, you all. We're going to need a minute. Senator. Benny.
Don't show your neighbor that. Republican, Democrat, Independent. They will almost universally cringe. Oh, gosh, that's embarrassing. And yet, there he sits, the most powerful Republican in Washington, D.C. And so maybe you're sitting there saying, well, yeah, Jesse, but they're about to at least replace Mitch. He's so old, he's not going to run for re-election. They're going to replace him. Oh, yeah, a story came out today from the Daily Caller. An aide in Washington, D.C. said this about the process to replace Mitch as being the most powerful Republican in D.C. Quote, it's going to be one of the Johns. The process is essentially rigged where an outsider could not emerge with enough votes. Even if someone did try to challenge the establishment, it would be impossible for that person to win. McConnell has too much money behind him. It will either be Thune or Cornyn, but most likely Thune. One of the Johns. That would be John Thune or John Cornyn. You see, very similar to this Han dynasty, we live in this nation where we're finally about to be rid of one of these pieces of trash. And it's just simply move him out and move in the next piece of trash. We will not gain one little thing when Mitch McConnell finally decides to mercifully retire and go on back to Kentucky where he can poop in his pants until the day they finally bury him. No, John Thune will walk right in and take over. John Cornyn will walk in and take over. And you know who likes those guys? Nobody. No one in the country. Nobody wants this. Yet this is the nation we live in. This is the nation we live in, a nation where we have the worst, dumbest, least popular people on the planet running the country. In case you're wondering who the next Republican leader of the Senate's going to be, well, here's a little preview.
We worked with the NRA to listen to their concerns, but in the end, I think they simply they have a membership and a business model that will not allow them to support any legislation. And so I understand where they're coming from, but I think most people will not allow any outside group to veto good public policy.
In my state, they use them to shoot prairie dogs and, you know, other types of varmints. And so I think that there are legitimate reasons why people would want to have them. And I think the challenge you have already is that there are literally millions of them available in this country.
Boy, if that isn't just the low-T GOP. Hey, they have AR-15s. What do you think? Well, I mean, there are too many. We can't collect them all. And also, prairie dogs. These are the people we send to D.C. to defend our liberty. Disgusting. The Democrats are disgusting. The Republicans are disgusting. And everyone knows it. We are the Han dynasty towards the end, watching the worst people run the country. At least we'll look forward to tearing themselves apart, because that stage comes next. That'll be a good time. And part of the reason we're in this situation is good people won't run for local office, school board, sheriff. The people who are in office, people like Senator Josh Hawley, the decent ones, they won't even run for Senate leadership.
Listen, I'm a guy who voted against my own leadership in the Senate. I mean, I just did it a few months ago where I voted against our current leadership. I said I thought we needed somebody different. We need somebody new. We need somebody who's actually in touch with the voters. And I stand by all of that. I mean, I say it practically every single day. I just think the Senate is really out of touch with the American people.
Senator, are you going to be in leadership soon? I totally agree. Our leadership really, really sucks in the Senate. The House is a little bit better. But are we going to see a move to kind of replace some of this old guard that's let us down time and time again?
Well, it's not going to be me.
What do you want me to say? Good people won't run? Now we're stuck with the Han Dynasty. That may have made you uncomfortable too, but I'm right. We have more. We have a lot more. You voted for this. Four little words we have to learn to love and use going forward. We will talk about that next. Before we talk about that, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the fact that I got home from work late last night. I was just doing a bunch of stuff here at the studio. I get home from work, and all of a sudden, there's nobody there to greet me when I walk in the house like they normally are. Why are they not there to greet me? Because they didn't hear me come in. Why didn't they hear me come in? Because the entire family is piled on the living room floor with the jerk dog, messing with the dog and snuggling with the dog. That's what this dog has become. This is why we give him rough greens. This is why we give my dog Fred rough greens. Not so we can snuggle with him on the floor, but so that those days last as long as possible. Fred doesn't get any nutrition from his dog food. Dog food is dead. Fred needs real nutrition, actual nutrition, natural nutritional supplement, rough greens. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse and get yourself a free jumpstart trial bag. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. All you pay for is the shipping. That's a free bag. Or you can call them. 833-33-MY-DOG. All right? All right. We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
The four magic words we will use forever from now on. What are those words? You voted for this. Remember, the you voted for this campaign, it's not a petty, vengeful campaign so you can stick it in someone's face. If you happen to have a little bit of fun doing that, that's totally fine. The you voted for this campaign is necessary because in this country, the American people have divorced themselves from their actions. They look at their government and they complain about their government, and yet they never take ownership of that. We are responsible for this government. We are, and collectively, as a people. I know not you personally, but as a people, we are responsible for this. And people don't like to take accountability for things they screw up. I don't. Do you? Do you love being held accountable or holding yourself accountable when you do something wrong? No! I want to pass the buck. I want to blame it on something, someone else. If something goes wrong on this show tonight, trust me, I will blame the producers. I will take no responsibility for my actions whatsoever. But seriously, it's true, right? But we must not let that happen, especially to these sanctuary cities that don't seem so welcoming anymore.
Because critics on the right have noted that New York City is a sanctuary city, and this migrant crisis comes with that territory. What do you say to those who think you relinquish your right to complain about the stresses it places on your city because of that?
Well, I think that those comments coming from those far-right Trump-like Republicans who are continuing to try to distort the reality and make sure that when you look at this city, the status of right to shelter, of no one who created this decades ago took into account that we were talking about hundreds of thousands of people potentially coming to the city.
New York was a sanctuary city for, gosh, most of my entire life. I don't even know when they did that. For my entire adult life, for sure, they've been a sanctuary city. No, this is a sanctuary for illegals. Right up to the point where they started getting illegals. Now, it's not such a sanctuary. Now New Yorkers are complaining. A lot of them. Parents are complaining. Oh my gosh, look at all these illegals in our schools. People are complaining about the crime on the sidewalks, drugs, street crime, prostitution, all way up, complaining about these things. That's fine, complain all you want, but I just have to ask. who'd you vote for? Because I look at the voting numbers, I have them right in front of me for New York City. It just seems like this is exactly how these people all want to live. So did you think that you could vote Democrat every time without consequence? Is that what you thought? If you thought that, you thought wrong. You voted for this. And look, let's do a national level. You voted for this. You know something I hear about a lot now? I hear about abortion a lot. And I hear about it mostly from people on the right. And they'll say things, not inaccurately, maybe you say this, they'll say things like, man, abortion, it's costing us elections. Abortion, it's costing us elections. We need to drop this issue because it's costing us women. And you know what? That's true. Well, I should say the whole costing us elections is true. It is. It's costing us elections. Single women love abortion. They love it in this country. And, well, I mean, here's Democrats on record, all of them talking about how wonderful late-term abortion is.
Do you support any restrictions on abortion?
I don't. I've always believed...
Even in the third trimester?
Do you think there should be any limitation on abortion?
No, I do not.
Any kind of limit for abortion? Where do you go? 15 weeks? Where do you go?
Look, there is no one-size-fits-all limit.
You would veto any law with any limit on abortion?
I would veto any additional restrictions on abortion that are sent to my desk as governor, yes.
Where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs that she is about to give a birth, would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified?
My bill would allow that, yes.
If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mothers.
Monstrous. And yet abortion is somehow a losing issue for us. Maybe we need to look at ourselves as an American people and blame ourselves for the fact we're led by demons. I'm sorry, we don't have to change our messaging on abortion. If you believe that a baby should be born alive and resuscitated and then murdered by the government, you're a demon murderer, and I don't have to meet you halfway. See, you got all kinds of things tonight making you uncomfortable. You think that made you uncomfortable? Anna Perez is gonna join us next. She's always down to make you uncomfortable. Before we get to Anna, let's do this. Let's make you comfortable. Oh, more comfortable in your home. You know what makes me comfortable in my home? What I'm a huge fan of doing when I'm at home? Breathing. In fact, I'm the same way when I'm here at work. When I'm at work, I love to breathe. Huge fan of it. And through my mouth and my nose. Eden Pure Thunderstorm allows me to breathe through my nose because it eliminated my allergies. It's the greatest air purifier in the history of mankind. It's just this little black box. You plug it in the outlet in the wall. You'll hardly know it's there, and it will clean your air out constantly. You don't even have to change the filter. And they're buy one, get one free right now. You, if you want to get that deal, and you should, need to go to EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. I personally own 9 of them. I keep them in every room we have in the house. We keep them all over the studio here. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. Buy one, get one free. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I spoke with Mr. Smith on Friday. And I had the privilege of telling Mr. Smith that I would pardon him. And we did that on Friday. We righted a wrong. He should have never been prosecuted here. This was a dad standing up for his daughter. Mr. Smith did what any father would do, what any parent would do, was stand up for their child. And even worse, what then happened was the perpetrator was moved to another school and sexually assaulted another young woman. This was a gross miscarriage of justice, and I was so pleased to speak with him on Friday and be able to issue a full pardon for him.
That's Governor Glenn Youngkin announcing the pardon of Scott Smith. Scott Smith, you may remember, the father whose daughter was raped in the bathroom of a school, and he got a little loud at a school board meeting, didn't even do anything wrong. The cops were, of course, there to slam him on his face, slap handcuffs on him, and arrest the father for being angry about his daughter's rape in school. Joining me now, the host of Wrong Think, Anna Perez, who's been killing it out there. Anna, okay. Honestly, I'm glad the guy got the pardon. I am. And I try not to be a cynic. I don't want you to be old and cynical like me one day. But we live in a country where a pardon was even necessary in this case. What's wrong with us?
I'm glad that you framed it that way. First of all, thank you for having me on again, Jesse. Really excited to be here. But yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, the fact that this would even be necessary, the fact that this guy had to even go to the school board to complain about a rape, I mean, this should be something that the entire community should have been getting behind. They should have been protesting. And maybe there were protests, but not on the large scale that there should have been. There should have been so many things done before it got to this place. I mean, this is what we should be, if anything, encouraging. I mean, in the 1950s, if your daughter was raped, the entire community would probably be up in arms. They probably would be chasing down the offender with baseball bats. Like, that is the America I want to live in again. So yeah, I agree that it sucks it got to this point. Obviously, Glenn Youngkin made the right move to do that in reaction. But again, I think we should be more proactive to defend people like this. And I think we live in a society, you look at the whole Daniel Penny situation, you look at a society where people are kind of scared to stand up for what's right. In this case, it was a bit different because it was his daughter. So I think that you'd be willing to risk anything for your child. However, I do think there is something to be said for the society that we live in and how people who are definitely within the right, standing up for something just, are the ones who are punished. And that's a sad thing. And I wish that things would change. Sometimes vigilante justice is necessary. And I know people don't like that idea, but in today's society, unfortunately, it is, because, it just seems like the government is against anybody who stands up for what's right.
Speaking of vigilante justice, my man, Daniel Penny, who you mentioned, United States Marine Semper Fi brother, obviously in a bunch of trouble, and cases like that are part of the reason why good people start navel-gazing when bad people do bad things now, Anna, because as you just referenced, there are so many parts of this country, I can't go protest, I can't go step out of line, I can't even stop somebody who is, because I know the communist prosecutors and jury in that area would love to throw me in prison for the next 30 years. What a sad place to be for our country.
It absolutely is, and it definitely deters people from doing what's right. That's not the America that I want to live in. That's not the America that I thought this country was. But looking around, what matters more to, the dominant narrative is the race narrative. Oh, if you so much as say something mean to a black person, even if they were like hitting you over the head with something, that's racist. The narrative gets so twisted. And I think people are waking up in large part to that, because I think that they really did try to push after the Daniel Penny situation. They really tried to turn it into a George Floyd situation and push the whole BLM narrative again. But I think people are like, you know what? I actually don't think that's fully accurate. Even if they do buy into it, I think it's a very small minority of people who still are buying into that narrative, at least to the full extent.
Anna, I'm hesitant to even ask you about this story because I'll be honest with you, it's one of the worst things I've read in quite some time. And I'm in you please feel free to correct me on any of the facts I get wrong. So a mother has a daughter. The daughter apparently transitions, meaning she pretends she's a boy behind the mother's back. This information is kept from the mother. The daughter is then kidnapped, assaulted in horrific ways, and it somehow gets worse from there. Anna, would you please, do I have that about right so far?
Yeah, and what makes this case so bad is that obviously what set off this whole chain reaction of horrific, traumatic events that took place, of course, with this girl Sage as the victim, what happened essentially is the school, as you stated, did this whole, like, coerced her basically to become a boy, to identify as a boy, because we all know you can't just become a different gender. But so they coerced her into doing that without the mother's consent. I believe her name is Michelle Blair. They did it without the mother's consent completely. The mom had no idea this was happening. Basically, she's, you know, talking online with somebody who wound up being obviously a kidnapper, somebody who wound up trafficking her. I mean, it's not safe for children to be talking online with strangers, but the school did not inform her mother at all that she was going through all of these issues at school. She was severely bullied. She was going through a lot of mental illness problems. So anyways, she winds up in a situation where she's trafficked, she's brutally beaten, just absolutely horrible circumstances. It's almost hard to talk about really all of the details, but basically what happens is they find her. The FBI then tells the mother where she is. And the weird part is, first of all, after all of this happens, the first thing that a child would want, by the way, she's an adopted, she was adopted by her mother, Michelle Blair. So she already spent years and years in foster care, which we all know is an extremely abusive system. So she then experiences all of this. And then they don't allow the mother, Michelle Blair, to regain custody of her immediately at first. She has to go through this, she has to fight the system, basically. The state was actually stopping her from being with her child again, from reuniting with her child, because they were making the case for the fact that it was abusive for her to not allow her child to transition, that it was an abusive home. Well, the school never informed Michelle Blair on the transition anyway. So she's suing the school for obviously setting off this, you know, domino effect of events that led to almost death. Like, honestly, praise the Lord for the fact that she's alive at that. I mean, that the fact that she went through all of those circumstances and is still alive, she's working through it. Obviously, she's going through a lot right now when it comes to dealing with the trauma that she went through. But yeah, the story is insane because the state made it impossible, it seems, for Michelle Blair to have gotten back in contact with her child, who already went through so much abuse.
Golly. All right, I'm sorry, I have to ask one last question. We could stay all day on this one. In California, there's apparently a bill sailing on through that's going to allow them to just flat out take your child if you don't affirm their gender.
Yeah. Yeah, see, there's so many cases like this, I think, that are popping up state by state where it seems that they're taking the side of the government having full ownership of your child. And this is where we go wrong. Here's the thing. The reason why Sage's story is so important is because it shows the American public that even if you had any inkling of doubt that the left was wrong about their whole perspective, I mean, we heard Hillary Clinton say it, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, meaning your child belongs to the government, right? The Joe Biden says it all the time. Your child is not your own. It belongs to the government, essentially, in so many words. That's what he's saying. And this narrative, even if you were to believe in it, the reality is we see so many real life circumstances of that not working. I don't think anybody would make the argument that Sage's situation is the ideal situation for your child to end up in. But that is what happens when the government gains full control of your child, is allowed to do whatever they want with your child behind closed doors while they're at school. So this California law is not surprising, because ultimately what they're going to do, I believe the ultimate goal here is first of all, CPS is already a horrible system that abuses children all the time. Not saying everybody involved as a social worker is bad, obviously. But it's a very corrupt system. A lot of people are aware of that already. But what happens, they want to give CPS even more control. They want to give the government even more control to take away your child. They don't want you to have any influence over your children, ultimately. They want to create a situation where if you don't abide by their agenda, the left's agenda, and right now it's gender transitioning, but it may get to a point where if you don't agree with climate change, that they're going to take your child because you're endangering your child. You're a child abuser if you don't agree with bettering the planet for future generations. I know that sounds crazy, but that is where the left is going to take it, I believe.
Yeah, you're probably right. Anna, keep going. Appreciate you very much. Come back soon.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right. We need to lighten the mood after all that. We got to lighten the mood coming. You ready for this? You ready to see some psychopath? It's amazing. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Let's talk about what do we do? What do we do? We have this Han Chinese government, right? Horribly corrupt government. They're screwing everything up. We all hate it. They're ruining the money, which the Han did as well. What do we do about it? Well, what are you supposed to do? You don't have a money printing press in your house. At least I hope you don't. It's illegal. All you can do is make sure you are protected. Purchase precious metals. Have them in your physical possession. Have them in your retirement. your IRA, your 401k, make sure you're protected. All you have to do for that is make a phone call. Oxford Gold understands there's a million of these used car salesmen out there when it comes to this stuff. They're very straightforward, very laid back. They're my people. It's the only place I go. It's the only place I send my family, only place I send my friends. 833-995-GOLD. Tell them I told you to call. They will take special care of you, okay? 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. Did I ever tell you about the time I got stung by a bunch of hornets when I was a kid? Now, I got stung all the time when I was a kid because I was always messing with them, hornets and bees, and I was always trying to test myself. I can outrun them, you know. So there was this hornet's nest in the ground. There's a hole in the ground. All these hornets were flying in and out of it. I think I was 5 or 6 years old, maybe. And I got this brilliant idea. I'm eyeballing the hole, right? And I see the hornets going in and out. And I'm thinking, wow, I don't like these. These things always sting me. I'll find a stick. It's exactly the size of the hole, and I'll jam it in there, and then they'll all be trapped. So I got the stick. I jammed it in the hole. I ran right up to the hole as fast as I could, and I jammed it in there, and then I took off running. And I wasn't a very fast runner then or now. And then, they were already under my shirt and getting me. I still remember I had them on my ribs. It was terrible. Apparently, this guy's stronger than I am.
Is that who you really wanted? You sure about that? Dun, 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 there he is.
That guy's not okay. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.